We knew the economy was going to turn at some point, but you never really can be prepared for timing or speed of change.
I hope this cycle we're in doesn't take us back to the days of regulatory purgatory, where everything we did had consequences.
As the world continues to change, we have found out we need to be even more nimble as we move forward.
By requiring things like business continuity planning and pandemic plans, we need to think proactively about what we need to do in the future.
We better grab our helmets and start getting prepared today.
Banking is a risk business, but in today's environment, we are being faced with uncertain times. Financial institutions have always had partners who could help evaluate, address, and mitigate risk. But today, they need to lean on those partners more than ever. Welcome to Bank on Whitfleet. Each episode will feature discussions around industry issues, hot topics, and current trends, giving you an insider's look at how top performers and professionals are staying ahead of the curve. All right, let's get into today's conversation.
Welcome, everyone. Today's guest is Anna Coy, National Financial Services Leader and partner here at Whitfleet. Anna is recognized as a leader in financial services and is with us today to talk about the recent release of a benchmark report, The State of Community Banking. We're excited to talk with Anna about some of the most significant trends in community banking. We know from our podcast listeners that preparing for the challenges facing the industry is of significant importance. Let's start. Anna, thank you so much for being here today. Would you provide our listeners some information about you and your role at the firm?
Hi, Robert, and thanks for having me today on today's podcast. As Robert mentioned, my name's Anna Coy. I'm a partner out of our Chicago practice within Whitfleet. I lead the financial services industry for the firm. For us, financial services includes financial institutions, as well as wealth, insurance, and private equity, wealth and asset management. And so for us, we look at the industry holistically, as do many of you in providing additional services. So it's been exciting to lead the group. We have about 500 professionals that focus within this industry and do everything from regulatory and compliance, audit and tax, as well as consulting, which some of those we'll talk about here today.
Great. Thank you for the overview, Anna. I know you orchestrate a team of experts, as you mentioned, and many of the people that you lead are thought leaders in their own right or in their service area or in what they provide customers. Today, I'd like to walk through the research report you just released and have you provide commentary on some significant areas within the report. Anna, can you tell our listeners about the research report and why you felt as an industry leader it was important for publication?
Absolutely. So we went out and interviewed and surveyed about 200 community banks with asset sizes, anything from, you know, just over 500 million up to 10 billion. So across the full spectrum within the industry, to just ask questions around what are their strategic priorities? Where do they see their financial institution going in 2022? And what are some of their challenges? And the results that came through were resounding. You know, the financial institutions, irregardless of size and overall the national footprint, really spoke about some key themes throughout the survey, which is why we felt it was important to get it out to the industry.
Well, I think that shows a remarkable shift in how we look at the industry, Anna, and the importance that we understand our own role is in aggregating data. So it's fantastic you were able to provide this. I think what I'd like to do today is look at some of the major themes and findings. As you mentioned, you know, some of the questions and discussion and interviews bubbled up some areas that everyone's talking about. Is it okay if we dive into some of those subject areas, Anna?
Definitely. Let's jump in.
Great. You know, digital is a topic, of course, everyone is discussing these days, especially within community banking. What does our research indicate?
The digital side was one of the key topics that came out of the research. In the pandemic, post-pandemic, we've seen digital transformation become one of the top priorities and something that came out of the survey as being something that keeps our CEOs up at night. because pre-pandemic, we talked about digital transformation, but weren't making strides as quickly as we are post-pandemic. What we've seen within the industry and, you know, reiterated within the survey was foot traffic within our branches has decreased significantly. Recently at a conference that I was presenting at, one of the CEOs mentioned that, you know, a comment around, we did a really good job of teaching our customers how to use our mobile applications because they're no longer coming into the branches. And that's evident across the industry. And so because of that, we're seeing financial institutions focus on customer journey around, you know, what does their journey for the customers look like? Where are those friction points? How do they take those friction points out to make it ease of use, as well as speed to market, speed to access for their services, and speed to decision making, whether it's on opening account balances, as well as, you know, from a lending perspective. The other item to note is that as a demographic within the population, we're seeing baby boomers who have not only become comfortable using the digital media like I referenced earlier, but now we have the next gen who are now demanding those seamless digital experiences across the market. And so those two things, along with the pandemic, have really amplified the adoption of digital transformation within the industry.
Yeah, I would agree. I know in many of the meetings you've led, you've talked about the importance of understanding what a digital native is and really moving your financial institution from multi-channel to omni-channel, where you consider the entire, like you said, journey of a customer within the digital space and the one that, you know, person-to-person space. I know, I think it will continue to be a topic we'll be looking at for a couple of years here, Anna.
Yeah, it was interesting. A recent article that came out from American Bankers, if the listeners haven't seen it, maybe go out and take a look. But in their research, they found that 46% of customers under the age of 55 are willing to switch their banks for a better digital experience. And so it's no longer a if discussion, it's now a when discussion, and, you know, changes into a need in order to keep our customers within the bank.
Absolutely. It's kind of that Amazon effect or Facebook effect, or however we want to name it, that we have different expectations than ever before.
Agreed.
Anna, you're bringing up so many good points around crypto, and I know you've really led the financial services team to think about it in two ways. One, how community banking can benefit from crypto as far as revenue and profitability and strategy, but also recognizing that the regulators have really come out this year saying crypto is something they're going to address. How does a bank balance those two? How should they think about that space in crypto, Anna?
Yeah, I think, you know, definitely taking a look at what's your risk appetite. How do you want to play in the crypto side, whether it's just advancements in payments or it's, you know, again, lending to those within the crypto industry or, you know, it's adding services, you know, adding the crypto within your services that you provide to the customers. You know, those are all three different avenues. Again, continuing to look to diversify the income within the financial institution while allowing yourself to stay within a risk appetite that feels comfortable to the bank and to the board of directors as well, which is extremely important as you look from a regulatory standpoint. You know, one of the things that did come out of the survey that was not, I won't say shocking, because I, you know, expected it to be, but didn't expect the high numbers that did come out. You know, we had 30% of financial institutions respond that they expect to add crypto services so within the next 12 to 18 months.
That's amazing.
Yes, and then when you take it to the likely, right? So those that said, you know, they're likely to do it, you were up in the 60%. Numbers. And so, You know, financial institutions are there, they're ready. I think many are sitting on the sidelines waiting for regulators to come out with some guidance. You know, we've seen regulators make comments around where they're at, but some financial institutions are really still waiting to see, you know, some clarification around what that might look like and how they can play within the space, whether it's custody, you know, or not. And so one of the quotes that I find really interesting, Robert, was from the Fed Reserve Chief Innovation Officer, and she was talking about the pace and scale of adoption within the industry for our financial institutions. And it, you know, this goes along with what we saw from the survey results. And she says, it's okay to be skeptical about adding crypto services to the financial institution. It's okay to ask tough questions. But what she said was, it's no longer acceptable to ignore it. And I think that's a really moving point, because if we think back to when internet became, you know, around, our financial institutions had an internet strategy, right? And many thought, you know, there's no way that folks are going to do their banking on the internet. Or even think about mobile. You know, folks thought there's no way that people are going to deposit checks from their mobile phones. And now here we are today talking about foot traffic in branches has significantly diminished. I think we're going to see, you know, if I look forward in my, you know, crystal glass, which, you know, isn't a clear, but I think we're going to see somewhat of the same when it comes to crypto. You know, people are going to start with a crypto strategy, but eventually it's going to be, you know, integrated into the culture of the financial institution and not be a side project.
I think you're right on that. And it is an important element of where a bank wants to go or a financial institution wants to go. There's that other element that all of us are aware of. We still need people. And the tsunami has hit, if I'm remembering some of the sound bites from media. We have a talent team here. I know it's something that you wanted addressed in the report, Anna. What does the report say about talent, how to manage it, how to recruit? What is our talent team saying about this? Can you provide our listeners some insights there?
Definitely. So what came out of the survey is that clearly we all are struggling within the industry. We're all struggling with talent, whether it's getting sheer numbers of folks within our financial institution, but more importantly, having the right skill sets for many of the things that we've just talked about, whether it's on the digital side or even, you know, think of some of the new services that the financial institutions are adding. You know, within the survey, you'll see, you know, 80% of financial institutions have added wealth management to the banks and credit unions. And so when you start talking about diversifying the financial institutions, along with that comes different needs from a talent perspective. And so many of them have talked about, you know, outsourcing, continuing to have to outsource because they can't find the right talent, can't find the right skill sets or expertise needed to take the financial institution where they need to go. I think that's going to continue as we look to the future. And, you know, as the continued great resignation, you know, continues to boil out, I think we're going to see that, you know, financial institutions will look to managed services or outsourcing to continue to add within their accelerated change and make sure that it doesn't slow them down. The other thing that, you know, we talk a lot about is the urgency around understanding who your top talent is within the financial institution and what are your activities to not only keeping them, retaining them, but most importantly, developing them. Because succession, as we see baby boomers continue to retire, is going to be important.
Absolutely. I think you brought up a good point, is that unlike any other time in banking, that trend towards what are we going to outsource, what is going to be our third-party solution, in addition to having a really defined talent plan, because we need to attract generations that have maybe different ideas than some of leadership has generationally in banking. Now's the time to really think about that. And I'm glad you brought that up in the report, because many of the things we read about are talking about this tsunami of talent.
Right. Yeah, and building, really thinking thoughtfully around building that people first culture, because it, you know, currently candidates are looking and seeking that belonging. And so how can your institution create that people first culture, give that sense of belonging within your institution to not only, again, attract them, but then also retain them?
Anna, thank you for summarizing a lot of the details in the report. I'd like to ask some personal insight. We like that of each of our guests. You lead a team of 500 people within the financial services practice. What advice would you provide our listeners who are leading their own firms?
Thanks, Robert. You know, I, on a personal side, I'll share, I also coach a softball team and have been coaching for a long period of time. And I find that the two, you know, leading a team here within Whipley, as well as, you know, coaching a team from an athletic standpoint, you know, I find a lot of overlap between the two. And a lot of it comes down to, you know, understanding your team, understanding their people, understanding, you know, what they want to get out of their career, where they want to go, and really having a vested interest in them and helping them succeed. And I think that, you know, for all of us as leaders, understanding who our people are, who, you know, what their interests are and where they want to go is critical, because if we don't, just like the conversation I was having about, you know, attracting and retaining people within financial institutions, it's the same for us within within Whipley. And so, you know, making sure that we understand, you know, I understand who they are as a person, what their personal goals are, and really helping them succeed is key.
Well, thank you. That's very insightful and very thoughtful approach. We mentioned the report earlier, Anna. How does someone access the report? Is there a cost to it?
No, there is no cost. We offer it out free to those that are interested. There is a link in the podcast information. If you can't find that, you can go out to whipley.com/FS. You'll find the report out there, as well as a contact us button where you can request the report sent to you. And as always, reach out to those that you know within Whipley, and they can get it to you too. So.
Excellent. You know, if one of our listeners would like to have maybe a more detailed conversation surrounding one of the topics with one of our subject experts, how would he or she be able to do that, Anna?
Reach on out to myself, anna.koi@whipley.com, or give me a call and we will get you connected with the right folks within Whipley.
Excellent. Anna, what a pleasure to have you as a guest today. We appreciate you being able to have the conversation. Thank you for your insights and expertise, and certainly your leadership to the industry.
Thank you for having me, Robert, and I hope everyone found something insightful today.
Great. And to our listeners, thank you for allowing us to share some ideas with you. As always, reach out with any questions or comments. We look forward to hearing from you and having you listen to our next podcast. Today's podcast talked about a recent report that was released by Whipley on the state of community banking. We know there are three main topics that everyone is talking about: digital and the path to serving your customers digitally, crypto and digital assets and the rise of that within community banking, and third, how to manage talent and the tsunami, as they call it, that has hit in how we hire and have people lead our organizations. We look forward to having you on the next podcast, as mentioned before. And as always, reach out with any discussion or questions.
You've been listening to Bank on Whipley. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast and tune into the next episode as we feature insights from other leaders in the financial industry and even more ways you can stay ahead of the curve.